whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Inside the 1 a.m. hour on The Fan in New York, live and direct. You can reach me directly at 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, year four, holding it down. As we proceed, man, as we get through the NBA season, the hockey season, and then before you know it, baseball season, where every night we'll be on reacting to the Yankees, the Mets, and the entire MLB. So 888-808-1019. I got to fill in a blank as well. And shout out to people who are on Twitter during the show, where you also can reach me direct at Keith_McPherson. Twitter is a big space that helped me. I have almost 40,000 followers on Twitter, and I got to fill in a blank, right? So, you know, I talked about being a social media manager. I didn't just like have immediate career change and success. I didn't go from being a social media coordinator, social media manager, digital marketing manager to radio host. I took a chance and bet on myself, but when I quit my last job as a digital marketing manager for Roc Nation Sports Agency, I had nothing lined up. I had nothing. I collected unemployment. I bought a new MacBook. I bought a Canon G7X PowerShot camera. I got the Adobe suite. I went on YouTube. I taught myself how to edit videos in Adobe, how to edit photos. And I would go out every day and I would shoot. I was living in Jersey City. I made an account for things going on in Jersey City. I would go around to bars, restaurants, and I would shoot for free, food and drinks and happenings and, you know, just to keep working on like something. And then also, I knew that the biggest audience that I had, back then I had no followers. I want to say I had like 3,000 followers on Twitter, but I knew that the 3,000 that I still had were from being in the MLB fan cave in 2014. So now it's 2018, 4 years later, and I'm like, okay, how do I build on this audience? I still tweet about the Yankees. I still go to games occasionally, but when I was a social media manager, I kept my account locked. Because you could get in trouble back then, right? Like if your boss reads a tweet or, I don't know, people have gotten in trouble for thinking that they could tweet anything. And I used to be deathly afraid of accidentally logging into my personal account and thinking it was MTV or FuboTV or, and you know, at Roc Nation, they even had an app to like, it was like a barrier to entry. Like you're not just logging into Todd Gurley's account. You're not just logging into Leonard Fournette's account. I did. But they had like this system where you would log in through a third-party app and post for Gatorade or Under Armour or Xbox or whatever it was. But I knew the Yankees and the Yankees fans were my biggest base. So being unemployed that summer, I went to every Yankee game I could go to, whether I was going up there with no ticket, whether I was going online and buying the cheapest ticket, or just scouring Twitter and Facebook and finding anyone that like was offering a free ticket, because I knew I could document my trip up there. I could document the bars around there. I could document the bleachers, bopping around the stadium just to create content and kind of build my audience and build my brand. And I did that in the summer of 2018. The 2019 season, I was still working with Bronx Pinstripes. And I wasn't making any money with Bronx Pinstripes. I was just kind of, you know, a part of Bronx Pinstripes. Those guys were making money, and they had a podcast that was doing well. And they said, hey, we want to do a second podcast, which is like, you know, a different style. And they paired me up with this guy, JJ, who used to be on Barstool. And I think he got kicked to the curb by Barstool, came to Bronx Pinstripes. They put us together on a podcast called George's Box. We did that podcast for every week of the season in the 2019 Yankee season, and I kept going to the stadium again and again and again. Meanwhile, I'm not unemployed anymore. I'm driving Lyft Uber in the morning at like 6 a.m., taking people to work, taking people to school. I'm coming back and I'm applying to social media jobs because I'm second guessing myself, not having the amount of money that I used to have, not having the health care and benefits that I used to have, thinking I screwed up in life, thinking I should go back to being a social media manager. But nothing is really materializing. But I am starting to get some more followers and notice from the George's Box podcast. And the Yes Network comes along and they invite me to a suite. And I kind of rub shoulders with some producers and some executives over there. And shout out to Jonathan Ziegler. I'll never forget Jonathan Ziegler pitching me on a commercial idea with me being the star of that commercial. I will pick up from that point in the story after we take another call talking about the Yanks. Max is in Jersey. Max, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, good.
I have my guy, Jerry, again.
What's up, Jerry?
What's up?
I want to talk about Luis Arraez and Spencer Jones and those guys. Are they doing anything with Spencer Jones this year, or will they just let him sit in the minors again?
I think that's on Spencer Jones, you know. I think Spencer Jones has to prove that he's ready to come up. I don't think he's ready to come up. We'll see how he develops. I'm excited to see what he does in spring training. I saw a video floating around on the internet of his batting stance from the left side looking very similar to Aaron Judge. So, yeah, that's on him. If he is tearing it up, then he kind of forces their hand to potentially bring him up here. But I think they're going to let him marinate some more. I think they're going to let him develop some more.
Do you think they're going to let him rot like all the other Yankee prospects have done?
Let him rot? No, I don't think they're going to let him rot. I think he's not ready to play at the major league level yet. He's got to lower his K rate. He's got to be consistent at you know, the Somerset Patriots. And if he does, he'll move up to the Rail Riders. And, you know, like, look at Ben Rice, man. When Ben Rice came up, there was some chatter about how fast he was, you know, developing and hitting. But I remember saying, nah, this kid's not ready yet. He had only had, like, 50 games at AAA. And, hey, he came up and made history. He had a 3-home-run game. So he helped the Yankees some.
Oh, and also, do you think Ben Rice, will he get traded for maybe if he's part of a Luis Arraez deal?
I don't know if he'll get traded because right now at first base, we've got a 1-year deal. I think he's someone else that needs some more seasoning, needs some more time. They're going to let him develop as well. But you know what? Like, we're not prospect hugging either. It's time to win the World Series this year. So could he get dealt? Yeah. Yeah, his value is higher than it's been, and if that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
And are they going for a third baseman anymore? Or
I would assume
they're using Jazz.
I would assume, yeah. I pray that they don't think their internal options are good enough. I would hope that they try to bring in an actual third baseman or another infielder. I think they're leaning towards moving Jazz to second base, so someone that could play third base makes the most sense.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of options, no?
There's not a lot of options, but, like, Brian Cashman's got to leave no stone unturned. He's got to knock on doors. He's got to propose trades or, you know, sign somebody that nobody's thinking about.
Jerry, I'll let you talk to him.
Thanks. We all want to throw away and trade away Marcus Stroman, but we don't realize that also no team's going to want to pay his contract either.
Yeah, and like, same thing with Cody Bellinger coming over here. That $5 million helped. If the Yankees pay some of the contract, there are teams that are always going to need pitching in Major League Baseball, and there's someone that will potentially take a shot on him. The rumors are the Padres might be interested in him.
Yeah, but Cody Bellinger's boomer bust.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd like to take that chance, and the Yankees are taking that chance on him being boomer bust. He could be, I don't know. I think in Yankee Stadium, and I think they're going to have him play left field. I don't know if he's going to play center field. It depends on what Dominguez looks like. I think he's going to be excited about being a New York Yankee, fulfilling the prophecy from his dad, Clay Bellinger, playing for the Yankees. And I don't think he's done yet. He's 29 years old. I don't think he's got bust written on them. So boom or bust, but I lean more boom.
Right. And as of now, which team do you think is better, last year or this coming year?
I don't know. I hear a lot of people saying that this team is better than last year. Last year's team won the division, won the AL, got to the World Series. I don't do the on-paper stuff. In theory, yeah, but, like, guys get hurt. Guys underperform. This team last year came out of the gate scorching hot. We were feeling things about this team right away. And we all know, you know, who is on the other side of town now. That leaves a huge void and just like a complete philosophy change and like clubhouse change. And I know they still have Judge as the captain to lead the way, but I can't go on record saying that this team, who we haven't even seen report to camp yet, is better than last year's team that went to the World Series.
Jerry, I won't say they're better this year because Soto's a clutch player in the playoffs. Judge, he can't do anything. So I would still say last year's team's better.
It breaks my heart, guys. Judge hit that homer, man. Judge hit that homer in Game 5, and I had this feeling that, like, Judge was unlocked, and if we went back to L.A., he was going to, you know, turn it on. I won't say he can't do anything. He just presses too much and strikes out, and he's a shell of himself. He's nowhere near the player he is during the regular season. I really hope that's over. He failed at the highest level. He dropped that pop-up. I hope that, like, it's just, you know, the monkey is off his back and he gets to the postseason and he's himself.
Keith, I'll say the truth. I also had that feeling that he was starting to heat up until that error.
The way Yankee, I'll never forget it, man. It was a dream. I have videos and I didn't even post. Like, if people went back to my Instagram and Twitter, I was so shook that game facing elimination. But the way Yankee Stadium lit up with the back-to-back home runs with him and Jazz, insane, man. We all thought.
I just want all Mets fans to know, my friends, Dan, the Yankees are the big brothers. We own New York. Forever and ever. All my friends should hear this. We own New York. It's ours.
Well, we got to share. Thanks for the call, guys. Max and Jerry, appreciate you guys. 888-808-1019. The Yankee fans have been calling my show lately, and they got to make a statement towards the Mets fans. Just why? Let them live, guys. They're waiting for Pete Alonso to sign. You know, they got David Wright doing a press tour and, you know, talking about how stepping on that field with that World Series logo on his Mets uniform was a dream come true. Yeah. What happened after that? I said I was going to return to that story. And I'm wide open for calls. 888-808-1019. I'll be transparent. I have a full rack of calls. I have no calls right now, but I wanted to elaborate because somebody hit me and they're like, yo, you just went from, you know, a career change into, you know, from social media into radio. No, it was hard as hell, man. It was challenging. It was frustrating. I was popped. I was overdrafting. My wife easily could have left me. I put her in a bad predicament, bad situation, quitting a job and, you know, just trying to tell her to believe in me and trust in me. But I give my wife credit. If anybody's ever believed in me, she has. And she knew. She's not a dummy. She knew she was rocking with the right kind of guy. Like, my wife saw me in college. She knew that, like, I'm not going to lose. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to work. So when 2019 came, I wasn't working because I knew that I needed to do content. But I would do anything to, like, make ends meet, as they say. I was doing anything to put together dollars for rent, for groceries, for bills, just to live, man, just to put gas in the car. So when 2019 started, I worked at a restaurant called House of Q. It doesn't exist anymore where it used to be. There's one in Hoboken, but I had no restaurant experience. But I had a friend that was connected to the owners, and I just needed to have a schedule, right? I was going crazy. I was in the house creating content on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, also doing some, you know, waking up every day, going on Indeed, LinkedIn, looking for jobs. But I'm like, man, I'm running out of bread. and I just need something that, like, you know, is mandatory of me. I need a job. Like, I'm not too big to work at a restaurant. I just needed a job that I would, like, you know, I'm applying to all these jobs and I'm striking out. And not for nothing, I interviewed at three places. Now they're pulling the curtain back. I interviewed at the Foot Locker office around that time, early 2019, like January. I remember being cold as it is right now. The Foot Locker office, I interviewed for a social media manager position with Foot Action. Foot Action, like, doesn't even exist anymore. But, you know, I went through two rounds of interviews with them just to have the rug pulled from under me. And, man, that office is beautiful. I wanted to work there. I had a social media coordinator interview at MLB, specifically doing player social media because they really wanted to help the players do better social media. I was one and done with an interview there, felt good about it, and I had some connections from MLB Fan Cave in the building where I thought that would materialize. Didn't happen. And you know what? Before all that, I had interviewed to work with Spartan Race as a senior social media manager. Or after all that same year, 2019, and I remember it was right around the time Garrett Cole signed, I interviewed and I got the job, like, as far as impressing in the interview. Went home pretty much ready to accept, and then the next morning they hit me up saying that the creative agency that represented me, that, you know, set me up for the interview, wanted like $10,000 for, you know, like booking me or something like that they didn't agree on, and they couldn't offer me a job. And that sucks. That's a terrible feeling. So, like, I, like, told my mom, told my girl, told my grandma, like, yeah, I'm going back. Like, you know, I've been out of work for a while chasing this sports dream, but, like, now I have a job, and that was, like, the straw that broke the camel's back. I think I still have some posts on the internet where, like, I declared, I got to find the video and I'll bring it back to the surface on Twitter for people following me. I was like, I'm done. Like, the universe is telling me, stop trying to go back and be a social media manager. You want to work in sports, media, entertainment? Like, figure it out. Remember my wife saying, you're confusing the universe. Who do you want to be? And yeah, I'll return to that in a minute. I'm getting calls, but, you know, I'm trying to inspire. I'm trying to motivate. I know somebody is listening right now that's applying to jobs and striking out. I know somebody's listening right now that's working a job and wants to change their career. I know somebody wants to work in sports. I know somebody wants to do radio. I know somebody's listening and it's like, how did this guy even get on the radio? Like, I'm telling you, I'm giving you, like, my real life story of how I did it. It was, you know, one in a million shot, but I'm blessed that it happened, and it's crazy. I said when I started my first show in 2025, you know, this year, this is the longest I ever held a job. I have never had any job this long. John is in Brooklyn. What's up, John? You're on the Fan.
Yo, what's up, Key? I mean, Happy New Year's. I know it's kind of cliche because you say you got to stop all that, but I haven't spoken to you in a minute, so Happy New Year's.
Happy 2025, bro. It's all good.
Yeah, man. I just wanted to comment real quick, right, on all the sports that's going on here in New York, right? First of all, the Yankees been here longer than the Mets, so they got the right, you know, to the upper hand to be the big bro. It's okay, man, you know? But like you said, we gotta share the spotlight here, man. We're New York, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, some Yankee fans gotta stop being so insecure about it. You feel me? Like if you're big bro, you don't gotta announce you're big bro. Everybody knows you're big bro, right?
Yeah,
we're about to
exactly.
See.
Hey, another thing, right? A lot of people keep saying, oh, the Nationals, you got to go through the Dodgers. You got to go through the Dodgers. But since I've been watching the Mets my whole life, every time that we got to go to a World Series, the Dodgers are always in the mix. It's the same thing with the American League. If you're going to go to the World Series in the American League, it's a good chance you might have to go through the Yankees. Am I right or am I wrong about that? I mean.
A lot of the same teams are there perennially. A lot of the same teams, you know, find a way to be there in October. The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Braves, the Phillies.
Yeah, exactly. So like, we already know that we always gotta go through those hurdles, the Braves, the Dodgers. And people in the American League feel like that's how they gotta go through their hurdles. We gotta pass the Yankees, man. Oh. So that's what I got for them. But my other thing is that this Dodgers team, they became such a juggernaut team is because Not for nothing. Ever since the National League turned into the American League, you see what they're able to do? They have a lineup like if they were an American League team. I mean, like, that team right there was constructed like if it's an American League team. It felt like this year the National League was the American League, and the American League was the National League. Because in the playoffs, the average runs for the American League was nowhere near the National League's runs in baseball this year. So I think that baseball has made a turn on that direction where the National League is no longer National League. It used to mean something when you had the pitcher, but it don't longer mean anything. I just wanted to get your opinion of that. And one more thing, because I don't call you every day, but I listen to you all the time, right? And I heard that, you know, you don't listen to the radio. You don't watch TV that much. But when you did, you used to watch Martin.
Of course.
Family Matters. Family Matters. Family Matters. That's Steve Urkel, man. That's why you be rapping like Winslow's son. What's that guy's name? Winslow's son? you ever heard him rap?
Winslow's son.
Oh, man. Yo, I'll see you later, my brother. Have a good one, man. Keep doing your thing, bro.
Yo, thanks for the call, John. Carl Winslow's son. I know his face. I can't think of his name. Carl Winslow's son. Eddie. Wow. Of course I know Eddie. I don't remember him rapping, but him and I share the same birthday. And John, you know what? I remember a call from you a long time ago where you did try to say something about my rhymes or my flow. You did try to take a shot at me. You trying to say I rhyme like Eddie Winslow? That's crazy.
Just to jump in real quick, there was an episode where I think Urkel and Eddie did do a song together with Eddie's best friend that used to linger around. The three of them used to get together.
Yo, I got to look it up now.
And I think if he says you rhyme like Eddie Winslow, that's definitely an insult. In 2024, absolutely an insult.
I know it's not a compliment. I know it's not a compliment. Bro, I just had a conversation today with the powers that be between WFAN and 94 The Block about, like, the NFL raps that I did. What a dream come true. I got to rap on the radio every week and create, right? They pitched the pick segment to me to read picks on 94 The Block, where I could have just been like, well, you know, this week I've got the Jets to beat the Dolphins and cover the -1.5. And I'm taking the Eagles to beat the Giants. And I said, no, this is a rap station, right? This is an old school hip-hop station. Let me rap my picks. And shout out to my guy David over there, David Plotkin. He's like, bro, this was so creative. I'm going to submit this for an award. I'm like, man, I never got to do freestyles with Funkmaster Flex. I was around Sway for a little while in the fan cave because he hosted the MTV2 show Off the Bat that used to film in there. I got to rap for Sway. Never got invited to Sirius XM Radio to do the Five Fingers of Death, but hey, John, you got it, bro. John in Brooklyn, if I rap like Eddie Winslow, you got that off on the fan. But there are people that gave me props for the, 18 weeks of NFL raps that I put up. See, now, you know what? I think, John, a couple years ago, you called and said that. And then that gave me motivation to rap on the fan after a rejoin. And I haven't done that in a while. So, you know, now you done did it, John. I'm going to put in my notes. I'm going to put in my notes to make just a generic rap, not an NFL rap, just a standing on business rap. Just rap, you know, and I'm going to write John in Brooklyn for motivation. So when I put these bars together, when I pick a beat, there's going to be a random time you're listening to the fan and the beat is going to come on and I'm going to just come on, turn the mic on and start killing it. And you're going to be like, yeah, yeah, I got him. I said he rapped like Eddie Winslow and he snapped. 888-808-1019. Let's take another call before we go to break. Soul out in Queens on the fan in New York. What's up, Soul?
Hi, Keith. You there?
Yes, sir. You got it.
Hey, big fan. Love listening to you in the summer after Yankee games.
Yeah, I cannot wait, man. It's going to be a great year. Mets and Yankees, you know, those nights are epic in the summer.
Yeah, so here for some Giants trade. I was thinking all in moves. Giants trade Andrew Thomas next year's first. This year's second for maybe the Browns' second overall.
No.
Travis and Shador.
No. First off, Andrew Thomas, when healthy, is one of the better players on your team and offensive linemen. You cannot trade that first overall pick next year because that could be Archie Manning. Like, you can't trade that.
If the Giants are really going all in, right? That's what Mara told them.
They're not going all in. No, they're going all in as far as all in as far as patience and in, like, you know, we're all in this together, and yeah, this is a sinking ship, but like, we're going to stick with these guys. I didn't get any indications that they're going all in to get a quarterback.
No, I'm saying all in to win.
There's no mandate for the playoffs. They talked about that. I don't think they're going all in to win. They need to improve, and they need to find their quarterback of the future. And I don't think that they give up that much to get Shador Sanders. And the idea of pairing Shador and Travis Hunter, it was cute for Jackson State to Colorado. It's not going to be so cute from Colorado to the NFL. If they love Shador Sanders that much, it shouldn't take that much to trade up one spot from, 3-2. Just swap with the Browns. I would not give up that number one pick next year, because with that strength of schedule, that could be a top five pick. Where, like, what if you do take? No, I wouldn't. I couldn't do that. And Andrew Thomas, no, you're gonna need him to protect the quarterback if he's healthy.
Who do you take if you had the choice, though? Travis or Shador for the Giants?
Travis. He's an athlete. It's a much safer bet. He's a star. Like Shador, I like Shador. I like Shador. I'm not going to knock the kid and say he's not NFL caliber, or I wouldn't use a first-round pick on him. It's just, I don't know, man. He was running for his life in Colorado. They need to have a much better offensive line if they think they're going with
New York.
Right. Like, I don't know. I think if you're at three, the Browns are going to take a quarterback because they have a problem right now. Deshaun Watson being hurt. And I think, obviously, the Titans have needed a quarterback. They drafted Will Levis. They drafted Malik Willis. They're going to do it again. So the top two quarterbacks come off the board. I don't think you try to move up to get Shador. He isn't a can't-miss prospect. He isn't a surefire. Like, I think the kid was going to go to Florida Atlantic and then ended up going to Jackson State because they gave his dad the head coaching job. And then they were able to, you know, finesse and parlay that into 1-11 Colorado. I don't know. I would not give up too much to get Shador Sanders. Now, if he falls to you, right, if the Browns don't take him, then, yeah, you probably take him because you need a quarterback there, and he's a star. But if he doesn't fall to you and you just want to take the best player available, you take Travis. And he could start corner for you day one, and he also can run some gadget plays and have some offensive packages for you day one as well. And he's a star. He's selling jerseys. He's bringing millions of followers and young kids into the Giants fan base.
I think they could get T. Higgins to match him up with Malik.
Maybe. I don't think the Bengals are going to be able to pay him. And, like, now, you know, they kind of messed themselves up. They should have paid Jamar Chase before the season. They cost themselves millions. they're going to have to pay him $40 million a year after this year.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call, man. 888-808-1019. Call me up with your Giants takes, Yankees questions. I'll finish my story of how I ended up getting the WFAN as we go through the next, I don't know, 25 minutes. Show's running out. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back. Back at it on The Fan in New York. Man, shout out to the West Side. My sister's out there in West Hollywood. Talked to her today. Those fires, like, that's crazy for real. I know I took a call from Jonathan out in Los Angeles. The Nipsey beat made me think of that. R.I.P. I always tell a story how I got to go to Staples Center when it wasn't crypto, but Staples Center for Nipsey's going away ceremony. That was powerful. That was a crazy day. I always say I never forget watching YG just drink a whole bottle of Patron to his face. And then I saw him at Coachella 2 days later. But yeah, the wildfires out there in LA, some people are now suspecting that there are arsonists out there just adding to them. And my sister was showing me like a radar map where she was. You know, she was good yesterday. And then, you know, they got closer to West Hollywood where she is now. People are evacuating. People don't know what to do. And yeah, prayers up for the people out there in LA dealing with that. That's crazy. Here, we're freezing our asses off. Here, we're complaining about the wind and the cold and the congestion prices and the 325 subway ride. 2025, here we are, man. I tried to find that Eddie Winslow rap. I can't find it on the internet. Bro violated me. I laugh, man. You got to take a joke. None of this is serious to me. Like, I'm not a rapper. I'm not a rapper. So yeah, let's get a couple more calls in where I was at in my progression from just like, you know, telling my struggles or whatever. I put on Twitter the video from December 19th, 2019, where I just said, forget it. Like, I'm going to go for it. But basically, after 2019 ended, John Boy started coming up. And I had saw John Boy on Twitter back in like 2017, and he quit his job and announced on Twitter, hey, I'm going into this full time, you know, I'm going to build a company. I love tweeting baseball with you guys, talking Yankees with you guys and creating content with you guys. Like, I'm going to do this as like my career. And I remember seeing people hate on him and I was supportive of him. And fast forward, 2019 comes. Late in the season, they do a little Talking Yanks event. They're in section like 133, maybe 132 in Yankee Stadium. I pull up on John Boy. We exchange numbers. And then late that year, I start doing some work with John Boy, you know, just kind of freelance type stuff. And then I end up getting an internship, quote unquote, job early 2020 so that they could put me on salary. And I was one of the first people hired at John Boy Media in early 2020 before they boomed into what they are now. I'll get back to that. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, man?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I know you haven't talked much puck, but I know you previewed little Devils Rangers tomorrow night. And, hey, man, if, you know, I think you brought up our season's just foregone. It's just at this point. No, there's not so much tanking. You're talking about, you know, training up for picks and stuff. NFL, you don't got to worry about a lottery. And for us, you know, I mean, obviously the NHL has one, but even if we were to land a top pick, we'd probably waste it. Listen, dude, I'm at a point with these Rangers where it's not even about tanking for the higher pick. I'm just hoping they miss the playoffs so they don't look at a season where they sneak in as a second wild card as a success. Honestly, dude, you know, I'm kind of like, well, C-Mac had a reason to. It was, for, you know, they lose out, they get the first pick, but I'm full-blown, you know, let this team expose itself for who they are. I mean, you see the other night they blew, what, a 3-0 lead to Dallas. Finally had a good team on the ropes. He actually beat Dallas in their own barn a couple weeks prior, go up 3-0 early against them, and, you know, it's the second game all year that goes to OT for them, and it's like a stupid turnover. I mean, it's stupid stuff like that.
Yeah, well, now you need Jonathan Quick out there every night. And not spelling Shesterkin, that's not great.
Well,
and
you think it's a little bit of a coincidence that Igor, first time in a minute he gets hurt, is right after he gets that payday? I don't know. That seems a little phantom injury to me.
And I don't know, man. You shut him down. This season is lost. The Devils aren't going to take it easy on you either.
Well, last time we played you guys, I mean, that was a day to remember on Twitter. I know, you know, people like Brat Pack and stuff there were relentless. You know, the whole video and stuff on the scoreboard, I was like, Jesus, man. But, you know, got some news on the Rangers front. That I don't know if you saw it. I think you were on with C-Mac actually New Year's Day. I don't know, or New Year's Eve. I don't know if you were watching the Winter Classic. I had it ready.
Yeah, they're going to be out in Sunrise, Florida, for the Panthers, hosting the Rangers for the next Winter Classic in 2026.
Yep. I mean, we just had the whole stadium series thing, you know, a couple months ago. Now we're going on a year now. It's crazy, but I mean, that wasn't the whole event. I mean, it took forever to get hockey at MetLife, and the production they put on there was, you know, we look at the Devil Flyer game was kind of a blowout, but that Ranger game specifically for
for Ranger fans. I mean, the comeback, everything, people look back at it like a movie. So, I don't know, man. Panthers, well, right off the bat, you got a winter classic, and you're going to have it in a dome, albeit a retractable dome, but still with a roof. And you probably won't get, like, a single snowflake. And it's kind of a weird matchup, too, but I don't know, man. It'll be all right.
Oh, that's right. It's not where the Panthers play. It's actually in Lone Depot Park, the Marlins Park.
I don't know if you've ever been there. I know you saw a video I put out.
I have.
Yeah. I mean, it's like right in the heart of like a community. It's not like the Dolphins where they play. It's kind of like MetLife.
The neighborhood.
You go outside, there's like houses. There's like, you know, festivities and stuff going on. Hey, you pilot a hockey game because the Marlins, they don't get crowds. So they don't got to worry about it, you know, during the summer. But you're going to have like a full-blown event there. It's going to be interesting, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Hopefully they'll be, you know, a lot better by the time everybody's watching that. Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. I don't know what to expect. I just think the Devils are not going to take any sympathy on, you know, they're going to lay it on the Rangers, especially in the Garden. And you can expect Jack Hughes to do what he does in Madison Square Garden. Mike is out on Staten Island before we go to break. You got it, Mike.
Hey, what's going on? Listen, I'm just calling on the last caller here. You know, the Rangers season, as bad as it's been, and it's been bad, obviously, as we all know, 38 points. But, you know, they're only 4 points out of a playoff spot. You're talking about a President's Trophy winner team, a contender coming into the season to start. You know, while Igor's out and things are really not looking good, I mean, I don't see it as a lost season. I hope that they can turn it around as the season progresses here. I mean, you know, last year they were the best team in NHL history in comeback victories. They won 28 games. This year they haven't won one game after trailing after two. And I think that as bad as the season has been, if things start to change a little bit, you know, I'd like to see them get into the playoffs. Not saying they're going to win the cup or anything, but
that's a good way to be as a fan. Like, yeah, you can't just pack it in on January 9th.
It's not over yet. You're 4 points out with a game in hand, you know, like string a few wins together here in January and, you know, you got a different outlook in February and, you know, trying to at least be competitive as it goes on.
You got to still watch every game, right? So you got to hope for the best.
That's it, man. You know, at the end of the day, you got to string multiple wins together and, you know, try to get some momentum. You know, as bad as it's been, not much has changed outside of some of these trades. I mean, this maybe the morale is down, but, you know, this is a team that won over 50 games last year.
Thanks for the call, Mike. 888-808-1019. Jeff, I'm coming to you next. We got to go to break. I'll be right back. All right, I might not get to finish my story, but I'll be back tomorrow. Let me take this last call before that back music hits me. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Let's go down to Louisiana and talk to Jeff on the Fan. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, Keith.
Hey.
I've listened to your program about 4 or 5 times, and I wanted to call and express my appreciation for your broadcast because I like your combination of objectivity, knowledge, and respect for the callers. It's a nice blend.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh, you're very welcome. That's a true opinion. There's a number of things I could think of to call in about, but the one that I selected when I called in on the screening level was about the New York Giants offensive line. And I think I might be in the minority opinion, but I'm thinking maybe with one good draft pick, the Giants could cobble together a pretty good or a better than average starting, or at least an average starting offensive line. I think Andrew Thomas, you know, if healthy, that's not a controversial statement to say that he's solid. I like the potential of John Michael Schmitz. I haven't seen as many Giants games this year as last year. I had an unfavorable experience in 2023 with YouTube NFL Ticket. I'll save that, but so I decided in this year, 2024, not to resubscribe. But I've seen some on national broadcasts. I bought a Turk antenna so I could, when they play the Cowboys or the Saints and they're broadcast locally, I could see them. And I had been able to listen to some of the games on Odyssey, but then Odyssey started where they would say that they're broadcasting a National Football League game, and due to NFL right. requirements, it's not being broadcast in your area, which seems ironic to me. But I've seen, you know, enough of the Giants this year, and some highlights on when I watch.
Not just because I'm running out of time, I expect them to bring in some competition at center. In his second year, he got bullied a little bit, and I don't know. I think they got to bring in maybe a veteran at center or draft somebody. I also think they need another tackle, whether it's to back up Andrew Thomas in the event that he gets hurt again, or a guy that can play on the right side.
I like John Michael Smith, but I think like you're getting at, I think he needs to be physically stronger. I've seen too many times when the defensive line pushes the Giants' interior offensive line back, and they can't run well up the middle.
He's dealing with like Jalen Carter from the Eagles. Some of these guys are just . I think he's definitely got to get physically stronger. He might not be able to. I think they bring in another potentially center and another tackle. I think they're good with John Runyon, Aluminor at the guards, and obviously Andrew Thomas at tackle. But, yeah, I expect them to draft another big boy up front, and maybe early. Maybe we'll see how the draft shakes out, maybe in the third round.
Thank you. And I wanted to put in a pitch for Evan Neal. I know this is going to be a very minority opinion, but I've seen plays where he absolutely runs the left. Let's see, it would be, he's on the right. So the left defensive tackle, he actually runs him in a long loop way out of the picture. And I read something where it said he was considered to have improved this year, and he had a good rating, 80-something in run blocking, but, you know, not so good.
Yeah, he is a crazy case. He's 6'7", 350, and people were raving about him. I remember Michael Irvin raving about what he was going to be, and he hasn't materialized. I don't know what the deal is with Evan Neal, what they're going to be able to get out of him. But, yeah, they might have to either draft offensive line or sign more free agent. They got to fix the offensive line. And I think they've learned these last couple years, it isn't just having a starting five. You got to have good guys backing them up as well, because they're going to get hurt. They had 10 different offensive line combinations this year, I believe. At least 10. Maybe more.
Well, thank you so much for answering my call. I know it's getting late in your program, but I've enjoyed talking to you.
Jeff, thank you so much. Appreciate the call and the compliments. So, yeah, last thing I'll say before that music hits, working with John Boy was 2019, 2020, the pandemic hit. And that was interesting because John Boy had an office in the Bronx that we would go to, and it was in an apartment building on Grand Concourse. So when they shut down all of the buildings, they didn't shut down a residential building, right? It wasn't a commercial building. So, you know, John Boy, Jake, and some of those guys were going there. I wasn't going there as much, but they were able to go during COVID and crank out content for a captive audience of sports fans and kids that didn't have any live sports. And, like, I did a lot of things on the back end to help. YouTube, Facebook, editing videos, scheduling videos, writing copy. Man, I was in there building desks and chairs in that first office. But the two biggest things that I did there were the Pinstripe Strong podcast with Joe's McFly, so a Yankee podcast, and then Talking Nets podcast with a young guy named Hudson Flynn. That got the attention of a lot of different people, from Kevin Durant to the Yes Network. And it even got the attention of WFAN. So when Moose and Maggie let John Boy and Jake fill in August of 2021, I think that's when Spike Eskin got wind of the John Boy media crew. He started looking around at the people on the roster. And, man, I'll never forget, he sent Joe's McFly an email. He sent me an email asking about if we would be interested in auditioning at WFAN. And I'm like, wow, no way. And I remember Joe's thought it wasn't real. And I looked up Spike, and now I knew it was real. I knew Spike's name from his dad's name, and I knew he was over here. And, you know, me being a radio guy in college, I'm like, of course I want to audition. Of course I want to try out. And I guess I could say the rest is history. That was, you know, the long and short of it, man. I thought I was terrible. I thought I was terrible hosting on The Fan for at least, definitely my audition sucked. And I thought I was pretty bad at this, where I would like beat myself up about it at night and go back and listen to like the podcast shows for like the first 4 months. I thought I was terrible. And then I had to just get over it. Like, I started telling myself, hang them and bang them, man. You do a show, it's live, it's done. Stop beating yourself up about something you didn't know or something you said wrong or how your voice sounds or whatever. It does not matter. A pro's pro is coming up next. C-Mac has gotcha. I'm out of here. I'll be back tomorrow night. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.